Why do we ever self-limit what we are capable of doing? Because those limits only, they only exist in our minds, right? And of course you're gonna fail. Failure is just feedback, you know? You're gonna fail probably a lot more times than you succeed, and it's just feedback.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. If you follow my travels on the socials at all, you may know that I just got back from a month in South America, which included a visit to my beloved Patagonia. And this time it was not for a group trip, but for the Adventure Travel World Summit, which is a conference that I go to every year. And it's not just a conference. It always includes adventures for the attendees to do outside of the conference hall, which is amazing. And one of these things that they always do is called a day of adventure, where the attendees get to pick between like 30 options of day trips to do around the host destination. And this year I chose to do a 14K trail run, which is, I think, about 8 miles. It ended up being like 9 miles in Torres del Paine National Park, which is like my favorite place on earth. And that is where I met today's guest, who's Alex Sanchez. We immediately connected, and I wanted to invite her to join me on the show because trail running, it seems, was just the beginning of our connection. For her, I know it's led to some pretty amazing things, including a different way to approach travel, essentially a purposeful way to approach travel. And I love this topic, and so I wanted to kind of dig into that with her. And so this is why Alex is here today. So Alex, thank you for being here and welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jackie. I'm very excited.
I am too. So first, let's start with just a little bit about who you are and where you come from, and maybe what you were doing at the summit, like why we were in the same place that day, that fateful day.
There's kind of a funny backstory behind that that I think is just, it's the magic of Chile for sure.
Ooh,
but
love.
Just to introduce myself, my name's Alex, or Alexandria sometimes, depending on what setting I'm in. I would describe myself as a storyteller, a creative, a trail runner. Really, I am just someone that's always in motion. And so that's led me to not only some of the most beloved hobbies in my life that I know that we're going to talk about some today, but it's always, it has also led me to what I'm so grateful to say is a very purposeful career. I head up consumer marketing at G Adventures. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about G, but G is one of the leading small group travel operators. We do trips all over the world, and our entire DNA is community tourism, making sure that not only do travelers receive life-changing experiences and some of the most memorable moments of their life, but that the communities we visit and that we work with also benefit from those travel experiences. And so I have a little moment of gratitude every day that I've been able to find a career and a home at G that I feel aligns so directly with what I'm passionate about, which is people, it's stories, it's connection, and it's crazy adventures. So the reason I was at the ATWS was there representing G, and the really funny thing, the side tangent story that I referenced was that our good friend Eva, the night before at the welcoming ceremony, had pulled me aside. And, you know, there's 700 people at this conference. And she said, "Alex, remind me sometime during this week, I have to introduce you to Jackie. She lives in Montana. She does these epic travel groups to Patagonia and around the world. Like, you just have to meet her. I know you're going to, you know, you're going to hit it off." And I remember thinking like, wow, I really hope that happens because I know this week is going to be super busy. And, you know, once the conference starts, it's go, go, go. And then the next morning, you know, everyone is scrambling to their one of how many adventures were there? 25, 30 of them?
Yeah, there's usually like 25 or 30. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all, you know, trying to find our little shuttle bus at 7 a.m. And I get on this bus and I'm the first one. And I'm like, oh, no, I am the only person that was crazy enough to choose trail running as my day of adventure. And then you popped on the bus. And something in me, I was like, this is Jackie. I just know that this is Jackie. And fate had brought us together on that bus. And then we had that amazing day of adventure through Torres del Paine.
Yes. I loved to hear your side of that because that happened to me, but in my version, you know, because she had done the exact same thing to me. She's like, you need to meet Alex. She's our people. And I'm like, cool. Okay. We have 4 days to make this happen, which sometimes it doesn't. There's so many people and so much going on. And
so then, many conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next morning I was like, wait a second.
Hold on. This is, you're the Alex. You're not just Alex. Like this is, okay, here we go.
No, this is, I love that you called that out as some of the magic of Chile, because I always say about Patagonia specifically is you can plan all you want, but make sure to leave space for magic to happen because it just does.
It just does. And yeah, I mean, it was literally a couple moments later that I met you that then I turned around to introduce myself to Bernardo, which I know that we're going to talk about that as well. And I'm like, wow, how in the world did this happen?
Yeah. Okay. And on that note, I'm just going to continue this for one more minute tangent story because that night when we were sitting at dinner, I think the reason that we're on this show today is because that night when we were sitting at dinner with all of our new friends so we weren't the only ones to show up, it turns out. I think we were 8 people all together and a bunch of us went to dinner that night. And at the dinner table, somebody asked me, okay, what's your podcast about? And I, you know, it's easier to give examples than to just say, oh, it's, you know, it's about travel. I talk to people. It's like, well, who? And so I said, well, take Alex, for example. I would invite somebody like Alex on and we would talk about how she did the Leadville 100 and invited all of her girlfriends to crew her and like turned it into a girls trip. Like, that's what I would talk about. And I couldn't get out. I couldn't like let that idea go away. Like that came out of just like that magic, you know, that Chile magic. And it's been in my head ever since. And so here we are to actually create that episode because I feel like it was all meant to be.
Yeah, I feel so honored.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that you're here. I know that we had some really cool conversations at the conference. And so I'm hoping to kind of continue that in front of some people who may get something out of that today as they listen. So, yeah, I suppose we could start with, because I'm very curious as to your background of travel and how that started and what it looked like maybe when you first got started traveling. Like, what was your motive then? Like, why were you traveling? What were you out to do?
I think so many people kind of share this sentiment, but I believe a lot of times travel or kind of, you know, venturing into the unknown is maybe sometimes it is spawned on by this feeling of, wow, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I need a reset. And for me, it was when I was in college. I didn't really feel passionate about what I was studying. I really felt this calling that I loved business. I loved stories. I loved people. And I was in the business school and I didn't feel that connection like when I went to class and with the material. And I kept thinking, how is this going to be a career in the business world that really feels like I'm making an impact, doing something that changes people's lives, like that I can leave a legacy of feeling like I helped people or inspired people. And as life does sometimes, you know, she bestows these crazy things on your doorstep and you can either say yes or say no. And I came across an internship opportunity down in the Dominican Republic where I was invited to come down as an intern to help with a research project for a small service learning organization that really focused on providing immersive experiences for high school students and some college students. And it was kind of based on the research element was kind of designed around service learning and how, you know, these higher level concepts of human security or, you know, kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like how we can all connect to those in some way, regardless of where you are in the world, right? And so that was a really formative summer for me. I got the opportunity to live in this small rural community in the north coast of the Dominican Republic. I got to work with students, and I also got to create these really incredible connections with local communities working on these different projects. And that was that initial inspiring moment of, wow, travel this way is really cool. And so I continued to go back, and I ended up becoming a tour guide for that organization. And then that kind of snowballed into other things like marketing and admin. And before I knew it, I had my hands in a little bit of everything. And so after a few years, I think I decided, like, okay, I know what I'm passionate about, but I want to kind of further niche down in my career and really kind of figure out what is my, I guess, mission statement or what was next for me. And so I chose marketing because marketing really is just storytelling. It's building connections. It's whether it's a product, an experience, it's allowing customers or potential customers to create a connection with a small business or, you know, whatever the product or service was. And I really loved that. So kind of spent years in the digital marketing world, the creative side, the branding, the strategic side. And then life again kind of bestowed this opportunity and brought G Adventures into my world. And so now I've been there for about 3.5 years, and that has opened up a whole new door to travel, being able to be part of, you know, incredible partnerships that, of course, you know, travel is a perk of the job, but it also, it goes so much deeper than that. It kind of becomes this conduit for these amazing connections you can make with, you know, strangers that are just friends you haven't met yet, you know, all around the world. And so that's kind of, that's a very summarized view of travel for me and how my love for it began.
Yeah. But okay, so how old were you again when you did the Dominican Republic?
So that was the summer of my second year in college. So I want to say I was 21 or 22.
Yeah. And was that your first, like, out of the country?
I mean, I had been out of the country, but it was very, you know, it was your typical, what most people would envision as, like, the tourism experience, like going and staying at a resort or, you know, okay, something that feels a little bit more closed off and not necessarily immersive. So that was the first time I had really been immersed in a culture in a way that I was like, wow, this is actually the only way I want to travel now. And I feel that most people have that experience once they go somewhere brand new and they're taken out of their comfort zone, which I think is kind of the underlying theme of when those transformative experiences happen. It's like, wow, how do I ever go back?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I can. That was my story too. I mean, but it was a little different in that and this is going to segue into what I want to talk about. For me, it was a little different. And I just want to share this because I also had that immersive experience at the beginning. But that showed me, and I wonder if this happened with you, like in the in-between after the Dominican Republic, and then you had opportunities to travel or whatever. It essentially showed me, well, how easy it is to actually travel, like to get out and just go somewhere else. I mean, it's actually so simple. Like you just get on a plane and then you're somewhere else, right? But
it's time travel.
And it is, like, at the end of the day, like, that's what it is. And then you're there and you figure it out, right? But what I was... what happened with me in the beginning was like, oh, well, what else do I want to see? Where else do I want to go? Like I spent a year in Costa Rica learning the language, and I ended up taking that and doing it again in Italy and living for a year in Italy and learning the language. However, when I was living in Italy, you have all of Europe like right there, you know? And so I started checking off like the big things. Like we did the cities, you know, like we went and saw the Colosseum in Rome. Of course, you're going to do that. We went to Barcelona, saw the Sagrada Familia, you know, like we're checking off some of the bigger stuff because it's what people talk about. And I didn't know any better other than the fact that I was living there and studying abroad. But I wonder if you had, because I love that one of your first experiences also was the immersion, because they're so powerful. Is there any part of you where your travels have been like, oh yeah, we're going to go check off these iconic places. Like we're going to go and see, like, did that happen to you? Or have you been like backcountry the whole time?
It's been a mix of both for sure. And I think a lot of that is sometimes like the intention behind the trip. So I know, you know, part of what we're going to talk about is, you know, are you traveling with friends and you have like a really specific itinerary that you're trying to check off while you're there, while you're in this destination? Or are you looking for, you know, I just want to go to this place and explore and dive really deep? And so I think it's been a mix of both. And I think that both can be really impactful. But I think that's what's really cool about travel is kind of setting the intention behind it. Because I think that when you're open-minded and you're either seeking to learn something, whether that's about yourself, whether that's about another place, like it really can be transformative. You can leave with some really cool reflection points that I think you start seeing in your daily life.
There's so much to unpack right there. Like, where do we go from that? Because that's so transformational right there.
It's taking the experience from being overseas and then writing it into your story so that it doesn't end with that trip, essentially.
And I think a lot of times people might travel and not even realize that's what they're looking for. Maybe they've experienced something traumatic in their life, or maybe they've just had a big change, and being completely plucked out of their everyday, the same thing they do every day, having to adapt to different things, because you can overplan a trip, I mean, to the nines. Stuff is still going to happen that you're not expecting. You're going to miss a bus. You're going to, somewhere is going to be closed. And I think like learning how to adapt. And, you know, I know that part of this, we could talk forever just about travel and the transformational attributes of travel. But that's like, I think why, in the other part of my life, like I love adventuring in my van with my cat, and I love to trail run. And part of that is the adaptability of those activities. Like you have to be able to like take what comes at you and learn something from it and be able to pivot. I think that's what actually draws a lot of people to travel, even if they don't know that when they take the trip at first.
I always say that it challenges your resources, but I think people easily forget how resourceful they are. You know, like,
yeah,
just getting on a plane and ending up somewhere else doesn't mean you left your wits at home. You know, like you're still there. You're still you. And I think the thing that really hit me in my journey of adventure was that what you're talking about, like the story, the thing that happens outside that you want to then bring home with you. I think there's a reverse of that as well. Like not a reverse, but a reciprocity of that, where after traveling for a while, I kind of realized, hold on, like, what is this for? And like, how am I showing up when I travel? And I kind of realized, I think I was in, I want to say Paris or something, like a city. Well, if you can see my face right now, I'm not a city person. Like I don't, what the heck am I doing in a city anyway?
We are mountain girls.
You know? Yeah. Like I'm just, and so then I started to question, like, why do I even do this? You know, like I've tasted adventure in the backcountry of Guatemala, Costa Rica, like all these places that like kind of showed me that, you know, there's a lot of, okay, I'm going to call it a lot of fun that you can have when you travel. But to me, what does that mean to me? Like, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you guys listening out there? Like, what is the fun part of travel? What is it? But it comes down to also who you are at home. I mean, this is where you can bring yourself to the experience as well as bring the experience home to you. Like, you know, keeping it with you beyond the bounds of the trip, but also what is it that lights you up that you want to do when you are somewhere? You know, like I would be way better off exploring the mountains in France than the cities, you know, like this is just something it took me a while to learn. And I think understanding what those passions are, I mean, people might think we are crazy for wanting to run a 14K in Torres del Paine, you know, but what does that mean?
I completely like see where you're going with that. Like travel doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be an experience separated from who you are. And that's why I think like as the travel industry grows and there are so many different opportunities, whether it's small groups, whether it's, you know, independent day trips, which a lot of companies do, like the ability to go and find what you really love and be able to explore that in a brand new place and in a new setting and be able to appreciate where you are in that moment, but doing what you love. I think that's really powerful.
Totally. And you're still going to learn the things. You're still, I mean, if that looks to you like attempting a multi-day trek somewhere, then that's okay. Like if you love to hike, then don't feel bad for traveling all the way across the world. I'm quoting, air quoting this, just to go hiking, which is something that you can do at home, you know, or if it's like, if it's art related, if it's music related, like seek out those things. And I've said this on the show before, but I think there's something so powerful about it when you make it personal. This is where I really want to ask you about this, this Leadville 100 thing that you orchestrated, because it's so fascinating to me. So actually, why don't we start with what even is the Leadville 100 so that everybody out there understands first what we're talking about, and then we'll get into like how you did it and why. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. So it's funny, you know, it's funny to even see like how the big topic of travel can then kind of funnel down into something that is truly so, so niche.
Yeah.
So the Leadville 100, totally. A little bit of backstory. It's a 100-mile race in Leadville, Colorado. You run through the mountains. So something that's really, really unique about this race is that the entirety of it is above 10,000 feet. So, I mean, very high. I think Leadville is actually the highest city in North America, if I'm correct.
Highest populated, yeah.
Or at least in the USA, yeah. And so basically, I love stories. Like I love, you know, understanding people's why. Why do you do things? Why are you passionate about that? And the story of Leadville is really inspiring in itself. And even that for me was a huge draw to do it. I love ultramarathons. I've been running them. I'm in just long distance. I'm passionate about trail running specifically. And I love long distance. I think you learn a lot about yourself when you've been on your feet for, you know, more than 5 hours. And, you know, your body's going through all these different things. Your mind's going through all these different things, which we'll talk about that. But the Leadville 100 is really special because it was actually born. The race was born in the 1980s when the main mine in Leadville, because it was primarily a mining community, was shut down. And so it was a very small community. I think I want to say half or nearly half of the community was employed by this mine. And so it shutting down was catastrophic economically. So people started leaving because, you know, they had to find work. So people that had potentially been in this small mountain community for generations, or their family had been there for a long, long time, were choosing to pack up and leave, you know, to pursue economic opportunity elsewhere. And Ken and Mary Lee, they were the co-founders of the race. They basically decided, and this is what runners are so funny. They basically said, you know, what is something that is going to bring people to Leadville and force them to stay, like not just come in, you know, eat at a restaurant, go on a hike and leave. And they were like, we'll make them run 100 miles. They won't be able to leave.
Great idea.
You know? So they piloted this race, and now it's been going on, you know, for 30 years or, you know, more than 30 years. And what was actually really neat, the two of them, I want to say they're in their late 70s now, or maybe even their 80s. They were at the finish line when I crossed, and they put my medal, my finisher medal, around my neck. And I will never forget them saying, you're home, baby girl. We're so proud of you. And it was like this crazy moment. And I think, you know, I'm getting all emotional and choked up talking about
it.
Yeah. Yeah. But just like the community of running is so, so special. And I think in ultramarathon running, and really running in general, it's such a unique sport in that, for example, whether it's a trail run or it's one of the major marathons like New York, you have people that have potentially trained for years and years to go run the New York Marathon. And while they're in their corral getting ready for the gun to go off, you know, there are some of the best runners in the world that are running the same race, the same course on the same day as them. Like, that's mm-hmm. really cool. And not because it's about how fast you run or, you know, being the most elite in the world, but I think it's more just that anyone can be a part of that community. I really believe if you run 1 mile a day or you run 15, you're a runner. And I think that's a really cool, it's a really cool thing to be a part of. And the way I've seen it bring community together in my own life is truly something that inspires me every day, not only to continue running and pursuing these races, but it also inspires a lot of what, you know, the different things that I'm passionate about, the stories that I want to tell. And yeah, Leadville is something that it felt life-changing for me. And I know that I'll do more hundreds. I'll continue to do these races, but I don't think there will be anything quite like that first time having my favorite people in the world with me, seeing how much everyone, you know, people that you don't know, they only want success for you, whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. whether it's setting a PR, whether it's getting across the line in 30 hours, or whether it's just trying and failing. Yeah, it was truly life-changing.
One of the things I really love about trail running too is that you can do that absolutely anywhere, which makes it really amenable, I guess, to travel. You know, like it's the one sport, I think, that I could take with me when I was nomadic. As long as I had my running shoes, you know, I could, you know, you can't necessarily bring soccer cleats.
Right.
Or shin guards or hockey pads or like, you know, that getting a lot into the equipment side. But with trail running, you're just on your feet. You can do it anywhere. If everything else was stripped away from you, you could still run.
Absolutely. And I, you know, when people ask me, what's your favorite way to explore a place? 10 out of 10 times, my answer is I just lace up my shoes and I go for a run. Like if I'm in the city,
Yeah. Go
and run around and check out which coffee shops I'm going to go to. Or, you know, if we're in the mountains, it's going and finding, you know, that's the first thing I do when I'm going somewhere is I'm on all trails, figuring out
Yes. What
are the different trails, you know, that I can save and go explore, you know, in our free time on the trip. But I completely agree with you. It's something. And maybe running for some people, it just looks like power walking or it's walking. But I do think it's that ability to just say, you know, I'm going to go have my eyes wide open. You can't really be distracted when you run. Like you're fully immersed where you are. And, you know, there's whole other, you know, we could dive into that. There's the immersion part of running alone. But it's such a beautiful way to explore a new place.
The other thing that you said that really stood out to me was when you included your favorite people in the world, because there's a really special thing about having discovered something that lights you up and then inviting other people into that. And in a sense, it's what I've been doing through, you know, Jump Adventures, like inviting people to travel with me simply because this feeling, this inspiration, this light, this transformation is not just for me. You know, I want others to feel that too. And anybody who travels with me can see that side of me. I mean, there are people that are in my life that are I'm pretty close to who've never seen that part of me. And it's like, but it's so me, you know, that's such a piece of me. It's such a big part of me. And so,
yeah, I would love to paint a picture of who showed up as my crew.
Yes,
and for anyone,
this is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, for anyone, you know, that's listening that is not familiar with how ultramarathon races work, long races like these are typically staged in a way. A lot of them are out and backs simply for, you know, safety and being able to, I mean, it's a lot easier to do a 50 mile out or 100 miles, 50 out, 50 back, and, you know, be able to have aid stations and things set up rather than, you know, a big loop. That's not to say there aren't huge loop races as well. But Leadville was structured as an out and back. And so you have kind of your official aid stations throughout the course. And then all racers are able to have a crew. And there are different limitations and guidelines. It totally depends on the race. But your crew is who is there kind of assisting you at the aid stations. And for me, more than the running, more than, you know, my toes hurting, my whatever, what I will never forget is how it made me feel to come into those aid stations and my best friends were there ready to help me take my shoes off, shove an Uncrustable in my face, you know, make me pound some calories before I start running again. Help me if I needed to, you know, reload my pack, because you get to a certain part of those races where your mind, especially for me, it was my first one. So, and going into Leadville, the longest run I had done prior was 35 miles. So going into that, knowing that, you know, 65 miles of this race is totally variable to me, and the variables came for sure. but you know, knowing, wow. I think having in the back of my head as motivation to keep going, but also knowing like, man, I have, you know, not to be biased, I have the best crew of people that are waiting for me, you know, at 2 a.m. They haven't slept. You know, I've been running the whole time. They're not sleeping. They're making sure all of our supplies and our checklists, like they are there with the only intentions being to help me be successful in this race. And like, wow, what a crazy display of unconditional love, you know?
From your girls, right?
Yeah, oh, so.
Women crew, yeah.
Yeah, so I had the way that the kind of the rules work is really it's like crowd control, but at some of the aid stations, some of them were open to anyone. Others, you could only have, you know, 4 people and they had to have wristbands. So you were able to come in with your pacer because at certain points of the race, you're able to have a pacer.
Which is someone who runs alongside you.
Yep, someone who runs alongside and is basically making sure you don't run off the trail in the middle of the night.
In your crazed state.
Yeah, you get to that next aid station. But yeah, so we have, I have a group chat that we're the Western girls, and it's, you know, my best girlfriends, including my my best friend who was also my coach for the Leadville 100. And I mean, they helped manage the crew, and they helped, you know, make sure that everyone knew their different roles. And at those bigger aid stations, when all of our friends could be there, we had a crazy small side tangent. Some of my closest, you know, the closest people in my life that are like my chosen family are people that I ran with at college. We had an amazing, I didn't run on like the official team, but we had an incredible, there was like a recreational club association at the university that I went to. And so we had a run club. And from the 4 years I was there, basically everything I did outside of going to class was run club. It was running on the weekends with run club, going out and doing things, you know, after class, or going and hammocking on campus. It was with this core group of people that are still my closest friends today. And I truly think that's rare. From a lot of people, the people that I talk to, once you leave college, it's not always easy to stay super close with the people you went to school with. But running was like that fabric that I think kept all of us together. And we've continued to support each other, even though maybe not all of us are competing at a high level anymore, or, you know, just more running for fun. Running was kind of that fabric that allowed all of us to stay really close in each other's lives and to plan events around going and doing cool trail runs. And so my girl group, like my group of, you know, some of my closest girlfriends, we have chosen to prioritize throughout the year getting together to just go be in nature together, to go run trails, to go summit mountains, to travel to each other's races, and just be there for each other. And I think that's, I think it's really unique. I think it's a really unique way that this sport and activity, it brings people together and really allows people to just like love each other and be there for each other. Whatever your goals are, however fast you run, you know, who cares about your mile time? We just gonna want to go run together. And so, you know, bringing it back to Leadville, it was just so special to be surrounded by people that, you know, it had nothing to do, it wasn't benefiting them to stay up for 24 plus hours straight to help me do this insane thing and run 100 miles in the mountains, you know? But they did that because it's like that shared, it's like that, I think that's like the true definition of community, is like sharing those values together of like, if it's important to you, it's important to us, you know?
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Once upon a time in 2015, I set out with my trusty Osprey Fairview 55 travel pack and did not come back for, about 3 years. That entire time, I traveled the world nomadically with my Fairview 55. It was the first Osprey pack I fell in love with, and the Farpoint Fairview line has only gotten better over the years. And Osprey has just come out with a brand new updated version of the Farpoint and Fairview travel packs in 40 liter, 55, and 70, and they are exclusively available now at osprey.com and at REI. My two favorite features of the Farpoint Fairview travel packs are that they open like a suitcase, so much room for activities and packing cubes, and that they have detachable day packs built into the 55 and 70. These packs all include Blue Sign approved 100% recycled materials and will hold up beautifully for weeks or, if you're like me, months and months of travel. And if you need more space, they pair gloriously with the Transporter Wheeled Duffel, which is my go-to for absolutely everything now. Can't stop, won't stop, I love it. Find the new Farpoint and Fairview travel packs, plus all the travel packing accessories you need, plus the beautiful Transporter Wheeled Duffels, and join me in my adventure packing bliss at osprey.com. Hiking and hitting the trails is a year-round adventure opportunity, even in the snow. It just means you need the right gear, and no one knows this better than Oboz Footwear, because they hail from the often cold and snowy mountains of Bozeman, Montana. I once took a pair of waterproof insulated Oboz boots on a winter trip to Canada where I went snowmobiling, dog sledding, ice fishing, ski hawking, that's a special thing in Quebec, snowshoeing, and fat tire biking, and I did it all in my one pair of Oboz adventure boots. It was the easiest shoe packing solution I've ever experienced on a trip, and my feet were warm and dry and so comfortable the entire time. I want this kind of winter adventure success for you and your feet too. So check out Oboz Footwear's full line of insulated, rugged hikers and winter boots that will keep your feet happy from town to trail. Oh, and remember that every pair of footwear you get from Oboz helps plant trees. Learn more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Oh, exactly. And they wanted to see you succeed. And they were in a very unique position to help you do that and just stand together and celebrate, I don't know, that community and that will, I think. That answers a huge question, though, because I was thinking, when you first told me that your girls like crewed you on the Leadville 100, I was like, wait, how does your random group of girlfriends like even be qualified to do that? Because that's a huge, that's like a such a specific thing. So I didn't know that that's how you guys came together. And that makes so much sense. But it also points out something that's, it's really hard to do, is to like make friends, right? As adults or whatever. When you have to essentially put yourself out there. But again, you were going back to a passion that you had, and they all had it too. And that was what brought you together. And now you're creating trips and being able to do that with, like, where are some of the places that you've gone? And is it all US or do you go international too?
We haven't done like a girls trip to, I mean, that's something I'm kind of working on. But we have traveled. A lot of times it's based around races. So if one of us is doing a marathon, or for example, we are kind of spread out in the western part of the U.S. So we kind of just travel to each other. And I'll give you an example. My best friend, Coach, she got married actually a month after I ran Leadville. So it was really cool. She coached me in that race, and then I got to stand up next to her as she got married, which just felt like a full circle moment for us, you know. But we actually kind of surprised her, and we called it a training weekend, where we were going to go to Utah and basically pack in a whole bunch of training because we were all doing a race together in July. It's called Speed Goat in Utah, and it's
okay.
It's like a 20-mile race in beautiful course, but I think it's like 6,000 feet of elevation gain in 20 miles. So it's not, it's a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. So in June, we planned, you know, a little trip to make it like a training weekend for all of us leading up to this speed goat race, which was also kind of a tune-up race for me heading into Leadville, which was in August. And we surprised her and we turned it into a bachelorette.
Yeah, of course you did.
So it was like, you know, we're up doing these trail runs and we're wearing little sashes and matching sunglasses. And people were like, wow, this is the coolest bachelorette we've seen.
Ever. I know, right? I am sure there are a lot of women, actually just maybe people listening right now, who are having their eyes open to this idea of what if we, what does it look like when we do travel like this, you know, and can we do that? Because I think what in one way, what you're talking about, the girls trip, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do that, like, you know, and whether it's college or whatever your friend group is from, this is a thing. And I think guys do too. Guys trips, girls trips, right? But I wonder if we are going to challenge anybody today to consider doing it differently and getting into actually really focusing on the passion of the group or something different that gets you outside onto trails, into the adventure of it. I mean, even, for example, my brother goes on guys trips and one of their things is golf. My dad goes on trips and one of his things is golf. You know, it's like I just started golfing in the last year. And so that's, I guess that maybe that's why it came to my head. But I was thinking like, okay, I could totally see visiting different golf trips on or golf courses on a trip. Like how, what a beautiful way to exercise your passion and go see a place. Like there's a, it's not like one resort. That's not what I'm talking about. But like, I was imagining like, what if we went to New Zealand and like golfed these really cool, like how gorgeous would that be, you know?
Yeah. Or, and you know, it made me, Jackie, think of when you were saying earlier, and we kind of joked about that. I remember us joking about this on the bus when we were heading to Torres del Paine, when you were like, you know, it's only dawned on me how, I think you were talking about New Zealand. You're like, why did I wait so long to go do this trip? Because literally I got on a plane, I traveled through time, and then I was in New Zealand, and it just, I, you know, blew it up in my head to be way, way bigger than it actually was. And I think that what is so cool, not just obviously about traveling on planes, which of course I still am like, how are these things in the air, you know?
But I know, me too.
Just the way that travel is moving, there are, I think that the industry is responding, and there's always room for improvement. But I do think the industry is starting to respond to more of those kind of niche desires that people have. Like, yes, I want to do this trip, but like you said, I want to experience it in a way that really means a lot to me. Like, I want to go to all the golf courses, or I want to go and run all the trails. And so what's really cool is that I think as a traveler, especially, you know, solo travel is booming at G Adventures. We have so many solo female travelers that don't necessarily want to travel by themselves. They want the security of being in a group, but they don't want to wait for the conversation to get out of the group chat. They just want to go. So there's so many opportunities to either make those things happen for yourself and find those itineraries, find those operators that are offering what you're looking for. Or there are also a lot of companies that are off making it possible for small groups of people that know each other to go and experience a country in a really unique way, whether it be for golf, whether it be for running, whether it's a, you know, a sewing club that's really into sewing and wants to check out all the fabrics, you know, the traditional fabrics
that
somewhere.
Happens. Yeah,
exactly. In South America. And so I think too, as travelers and as people that have, you know, these supercomputers in our pocket at all times, we really can, anything that we imagine as something that we experience is probably possible. Like there's probably someone passionate about making it happen. And, you know, that might be you.
Definitely. And I think I'll tag on to that there's a really, really easy way to find it. And it's Google or whatever, an online search, because it's the same as, you know, and this is what I was thinking of when you were talking about that is, in the same way that people used to ask me like, well, how do I find a job abroad? Like, how do I work abroad? That was like a big conversation kind of when I was starting out in this podcast, like freaking 10 years ago. But the thing that I would always tell them,
well, what do you like to do? Just type that in the country you want to go to. You know, like it's actually not that hard. Well, it's a simple process. And it's the same thing. Like, have you considered that maybe there's a trail run for you happening in Chile? Like, if you run races at home, why don't you do that in Iceland, you know, or whatever? If you, okay, so the next one for me is ice hockey. Like, there are tournaments all over the world.
You're a big hockey girl.
That you can just sign up for as one person. Like, you don't have to bring a whole team with you. But because, you know, I mean, fielding a team and traveling could be
the equipment, all of that.
Yeah, all of that. But I mean, maybe there would be a couple people from my teams that are interested in also going. Like, come on, let's bring a crew from our town and like go experience this awesome tournament in Scotland. You know, I really want to do that. At one point, I will do that and I'll come back and report. That's on it.
But, yeah, I love it. Can't wait to like, see. Can't wait to be follow along.
Right. Like, and why not?
I think why not is that is the question, because it is, if you look, if you're able, and you know, now, it, and this is a whole different conversation, but of course, I'm in marketing, so it's what I hear about a lot. People are now starting to plan their own trips on ChatGPT, you know, plan their own itineraries, and then get matched with providers or with operators or, you know, that can, you know, make those experiences happen or kind of guide them in the next step of planning their next adventure. So, I mean, you know, like you were saying, like the information is there, the opportunities mm-hmm. are there. And I think sometimes people get overwhelmed by the thought of travel or making it happen or how do I do it with my schedule? And it's there. And it, you know, if you have a few free vacation days, you can probably create an epic trip, even if it's just a long weekend.
Right. To a race right here in this country.
Yeah, or, exactly.
Yeah, a hockey tournament or a golf course or whatever.
You already know I am going back to Patagonia so that I can do the Ultra Pine 8 50K, the full thing. Because although I loved our 14K finisher medal, I'm going back for the whole biscuit, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I think this is just the beginning for you. I mean, I once ran a race in Argentina just because it came to me. I was living in Bariloche and this North Face something or other. I can't even remember the name of the race. But I was like, wait, why not me? I do have my shoes here. You know, like that's one thing I did have.
Yeah.
Why not? I can sign up for this. And I did. I ran a race in Argentina. Like that was really cool.
And it goes back to the stories. Like you talk about, you know, I think and this is a lot of what we focus on at G is that community tourism is really it's a two-way conversation. The traveler goes and has these epic experiences, but it's only beneficial holistically when there is giving and receiving of the culture, the language, the experience. And so for you to be able to go and support a local race in Argentina and then come back, you know, whether it's coming back to Montana or wherever you go next and be able to say, this is this awesome thing that I was able to experience. Like, let's go, let me bring more people that have that same passion and just didn't know that it was an option. You know, let's go do that somewhere else. And I think that right there, like that is the transformative power of travel. Like in that, you know, that tiny example.
Yes, I love that. But it takes knowing. Sometimes you just have to open people's eyes to say, hey, this is out there. Go get it. Like, why not? You don't have to travel like the next person. Like, you don't. You can make it whatever you want to make it. And I think that people sometimes feel the pressure to check the boxes, kind of like what we were talking about in the beginning, you know, and see the things that everyone else is talking about. But that doesn't matter because the stories that you're going to come back with, the powerful transformations that you're going to come back with are not going to be about the iconic sites that maybe drew you somewhere. It's going to be about the interactions you're having with the locals or the other people that are on your trip and the experiences with nature, which is just a reflection of ourselves, you know, and I just got chills. And I mean, all of it just like, it can be what you need it to be. It doesn't have to be what anybody else says. And all the resources, like you've said, are out there.
I will say that 8 or 9 times out of 10, don't quote me on that statistic, but I'm just making a point that from, you know, traveler feedback, when you ask them, What was the most memorable part of your 8-day trip to Peru? You know, going and seeing Machu Picchu, which of course is one of the most stunning. It's one of the wonders of the world. It's one of the most. You stand in front of it and pictures. You know, I've been there, and part of me was afraid, like, man, I've seen 1,000 pictures of this, you know, thousands and thousands of pictures. Like, is it not going to? And then it does, because just like there's magic in Chile and all the history and everything that goes along with it, you know, Machu Picchu is the same. But travelers will come back and they will say, what absolutely blew my mind that I wasn't expecting to, like, hit me the way it did and sit with me even on my plane ride home and month later, were getting to trek alongside the porters that, you know, made the trek possible to go see Machu Picchu. Or, you know, in the case of G Adventures, they'll say our chief experience officers, which are our local guides. They're like, I getting to see the country of Peru through the eyes of my chief experience officer and the way that they made that trip so unique and memorable. That's something I'll never forget. You know, it's like, it almost is never the iconic photo moment. It's like all those dinner conversations, those mm-hmm. crazy bus rides yeah. where, you yep. know, you're tired or you're jet lagged, but you all become friends. Like, it's always those moments that come home with you and stay.
I would say 10 out of 10 times, because I also have this experience, and we always talk about this at the end of my trips that I lead. And it's, I mean, every time we've gone to a couple of world wonders, we've done some massive things, and it's never the iconic thing. And that's the whole point, is that it's the in between, and it's the people, and it's yourself, and it's the way you show up and how you receive and reciprocate, you know, it's yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. And something, you know, just in, because I'm always thinking of like those stories, the hook, like what stays with people. And something that I love to challenge people with, or even I challenge myself with, is that when I travel and I go and I experience something, I'm actually going to connect this back to Leadville, but it can totally connect to travel. When I was, I want to say it was mile 38, so I was past my, you know, that was the longest run I had done, and I had yep. just started the ascent. So what makes Leadville iconic is that you start at 10,000 feet, but you climb Hope Pass once, you run down it, you turn around, and you climb it again, and it sits at 13,000, I think it's 13,400 feet. So you're doing a 13 plus, a 13 teener plus twice in that 100 miles. And I remember getting to like mile 38, and that's where you start the ascent. And I'm like, wow, this is the butt kicker. This is about to be the hardest section. I have no idea how my body is going to respond. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I remember telling myself, you know, you just have to go left, right, left, right. You might not be able to do this, but you're damn sure not going to stop, you know? Like, someone's going to have to carry you off this course if that's what happens. And what it did, that moment, and there were other moments as well. There were so many moments. I could share it because I've written all of them down, like a diary of all of these transformational moments. But it redefined the way that I look at self-limits, because in that moment, you know, I was, you know, down on myself. Like, what in the world? Why did I think I could do this? Why did I sign up for this? Why did I think I could accomplish something like this? And then however many hours I ran, it took me 26 hours and 55 minutes to complete the course. It wasn't the time I wanted, but I wouldn't change anything. And all those hours later, I crossed the finish line, and I still reflect back on that moment of why do we ever self-limit what we are capable of doing? Because those limits only exist in our minds, right? And of course, you're going to fail. Failure is just feedback, you know? You're going to fail probably a lot more times than you succeed, and it's just feedback. And now, what I challenge myself with, and I still do it multiple times a week, whenever I start thinking, you know, I went and I did this experience completely outside of myself, something that some people would train a lifetime to complete. You know, I understand the privilege and how unique it was to be able to do that and to have my best friends alongside me. And now I continue to ask and reflect on, in that moment when you thought you were at your limit and you still ran for 13 more hours, why are you self-limiting right here in this random daily life thing you're experiencing? Go do it. Go try. Go fail. And I think that's the same thing with travel. Like, we put a lot of limits on ourselves. And I truly think that, like, what travel does is you go and you have these uncomfortable moments, you get sick, your stomach rejects something, you know, or you have like a life-changing conversation with someone that changes your perspective on the way you view the world. Like, make sure that those moments come back to your daily life, because while it's really, really cool to go and have them in the magical, you know, jungle of Peru, and it's really cool to go to Paris, it's really cool to go to Patagonia, those moments that we feel like maybe only we can find on travel or while traveling, we can find those at home too. We can find those in the communities, you know, 15 minutes from us or an hour drive away. I think we need to look for those magical moments right where we are as well.
I so agree with everything you just said. And it made me think of something that it's funny that you keep bringing up Machu Picchu, because I was just there right before I saw you in Patagonia. I was leading a trip in Peru to Machu Picchu. So there's a lot of this that's super fresh for me and so real. Everything that you're saying is so very real. And I mean, and I'm like picturing it all as you're talking about it, you know. But I will say there was one day that we were actually in Machu Picchu. It was our Machu Picchu day, like at the end, that one of the guys on the trip, his name's Sean, shout out to Sean if he ever hears this, but he said something to me that I just was like, you get it. This is so cool. And he said, because he was there, his sister was on the trip too, but like his wife and kids were at home, you know, and he was there just kind of solo. And he said, you know, this really makes me, it really makes me want to do this with the people that I love, like with my people, you know, and I'm realizing how strong and capable I am. And it makes me want to just shout out to everybody, you know, take the hardest things on your bucket list and move them to the top.
Yeah.
And then grab your people and go do them. Go do those hard things. I was like, yes, that's totally it. But like, I what I love about that and how it connects to this is that it's grab your people and go do this thing, because how much more capable are you when you know that your best friends are by your side or those people that you love, you know? And if you don't have the people that are going to go travel with you, then sign up solo for that trip, because your people are going to be there. You know, those people are going to be on that trip.
You will find your people for sure.
And it comes back to having that common passion, you know, and if it's an activity that you are passionate about, whether it be trail running or knitting or ice hockey, hiking, biking, whatever it is, multi-day. I mean, maybe it is architecture, art, music, whatever, you know, if you find a trip that's based around those things, those like niche down, like what we were talking about. You're going to find your people there. You're going to find your people there. You're going to find the moments. Like, you're going to find all of that. Yeah. And also, where you can bring your people, like in your own backyard, you can find it there too. You know, so you can have it all. You can do both. I love it. Yep.
It's so true.
This has been so fun.
I know.
I love this conversation though. Like, these are the kind of things that I think about and take notes on. You said that you wrote them all down, all your transformational moments, and like that happens so much when I'm traveling. I just keep notes in my phone, and I'm hiking and I just stop and I write something down because I'm being inspired or whatever it is. And so it's been fun to speak some of these things
too. And this is like a funny anecdotal segue, but so my best friend Emily, we have not lived in the same place for a long time, but part of the way that we like stay in touch is we're big voice note girlies. We will send each other, you know, 20-minute voice notes, and we won't hear from each other for like a week or a week and a half. But then, you know, one of us gets another 20, you know, we just catch each other up on everything.
Yep.
And I remember this was like maybe 2 days after the race ended, and I had sent like a long a long voice message to Emily with my, like, my reflections on training and the lead up and the race itself and, you know, kind of dialoguing all of those transformational moments in our girls group. Like, our, we had already had, and I, you know, it's type A, type B, all the different types in a friend group. There was already a Google Doc created that was annotating, all right, this is Alex's feedback on, like, mile 18 at, you know, minute whatever, like, this is what we need to improve for next year. Like, I think it's like finding your, when you find your people that are truly, like, you're just diehard for each other and what each of you are passionate about, it truly, I think it opens up, whether it's doing something ordinary, like traveling to where you already live and just doing a weekend, or you do something, you know, bigger and you go overseas. Finding your community and finding those people that, like, really get you and you get them, it's like one of the most, I would say it's one of the things I'm most grateful for. Being able to, like, recollect that memory of my best girlfriends and, like, my closest friends from school. You know, we've been graduated for what, over 10 years, which is crazy to say. But they are flying out and camping out and not sleeping. My mom and sister traveled in to come to this race. They're not runners, you know, but they wanted mm-hmm. to come see, they wanted to come see what that meant to me. And, like, they wanted to come watch me. My sister, my soul dog passed away back in, I think we talked about this in Chile, but he passed away in May of this year, and it was, you know, really traumatic. Like, the grieving process is something that I'm still, like, trying to understand and work through. But I had imagined that he would be at Leadville with me because I went out multiple weeks early. I took my cat and I camped out in my van to acclimate. And my sister and mom flew in for the race, and they showed up at the aid station, and she had gotten custom shirts made. And one of them was just pictures of Ringo, and it said, she's got that dog in her. And she gave me the shirt after I crossed the finish line. So it's like, you know, it's my favorite shirt, wear it all the time, just like the one I'm currently wearing.
The sweater that you're still wearing from Patagonia.
The sweater, yes. That it just doesn't come off my body. But it's like that, like your community, like your people, you just do crazy things for each other, you know, whether it's traveling, whether it's the mundane in life, you're just always, like, there for each other. And it's such a beautiful way to experience the world through other people.
Absolutely. Oh, I think we need that right now too. I think it's a good way to encourage people to just keep getting out there, doing the things you love with the people that you love. Whatever that looks like, get creative with it.
Yeah, because it can be anything.
That's true. Okay, this has been, we've been going for an hour already, which I think we're doing pretty good, actually.
We've gone through a lot.
You know, yeah, we could go more, but okay, if anybody wants to follow you, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram. It's just my name, Alex Logan Sanchez. And I would encourage anyone that, you know, is curious just about small group travel, you know, gadventures.com. Although, Jackie, I know you offer epic travel trips.
It's okay,
so
you know what?
This community
There's
already
enough travel
has
out
that.
There for everyone. There is something for everyone, and that means there are no excuses. If you want to get there, you can get there.
You know, I will say something that I think would be amazing for your group. If Jackie's group dates don't work for you, we do have a travel style for solo travelers. And so I would encourage anyone in your community that's just trying to go and get the trip out of the group chat to check out Soloish with G Adventures. And yeah, I'm so grateful, Jackie. I'm so grateful that we could have this chat today. It meant a lot to me that you were excited about my crazy running story.
I mean, I think it takes one to know one to an extent, you know, so I appreciate that you were here to show it or to share it. And I really think that I just love what we talked about And I think, I mean, it's even going to stick with me. So thank you so much again. And I can't wait to cross trails again with you at some point, because I know it's going to happen. So
I'm very excited. And it'll be the same way. We're going to end up on a bus with each other at the wee hours of the morning, having no idea what we're getting ourselves into. That will be us.
That's the magic. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much. And until then.
Yep. Take care, Jackie.